So what we've been talking about, Saints, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the three most important things in your life. Amen. Three most important things in your life. Number one is the Holy Spirit. That's the number one most important thing in your life. It's God and His Spirit. Amen. And the second most important is your assignment. The thing that God put in you, the thing that God sent you here to do. Don't leave home without it. Amen. Without doing it. Amen. And then the third thing was the seed. We haven't gotten to the seed yet. We just talked about it a little bit. What you plant, you will eat from. That seed, whatever you put out, you will get back. Amen. But last week, we kind of went in detail about the assignment, right? Because God created us for a reason. The reason God created us is for our assignment. It's something in earth that needs to be done, and he equipped us to do it. And he doesn't create things for nothing. Amen. Everybody here got an assignment. Amen. You hearing me, Devin? You here for a reason. God didn't just create Devin for nothing. Marcel, you hear me? God didn't create you all just to send you here with no reason. It's a reason you here. Amen. Everything that's created, he created for a reason. And the same thing with us. Man, when we invent things and we create things, it's to serve a purpose, right? We think, man, I gotta get around. I got a transportation problem. Then we create an automobile. Oh, I need to get there faster. I need to get to this city in 2 hours. We created a plane. Amen. Well, I don't like flying, but I don't mind water. Somebody created a boat. Amen. Everything was created for a reason. It was created for a purpose, and it has a purpose. Amen. But I gave you some clues to help you recognize your assignment. Last week, I gave a few clues to help you recognize it. And I'm going to go over a couple of them again. Like things that you really enjoy doing. That's a great key to your assignment. Because you'll have wisdom in those areas. Things that you love, you'll have wisdom in those. It'll be easy for you to do because you enjoy it. Amen. Here's a good question. Check this out. I want y'all to ask yourselves this question right here. What would you love to do if money was no longer a factor? Think about that one, huh? Because some people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, but it pays well. Amen. But they not happy. But they say, hey, this pays well, I'm going to do it. Amen. But when you ask yourself that question, would I do this if it was for nothing? Huh? Money didn't have nothing to do with it. Would I be doing this job? Amen. And then whatever you come up with that you would do if money wasn't involved, that's a real clue to your assignment, why you here. Amen. Like, I enjoy computers and technology, always did. And I enjoy working in that field. I don't get up and say, man, I don't feel like going to work today. You know, I might not be wanting to be bothered with some people sometime. But the technology piece, there's no problem. I enjoy doing that. Even though that season for me is coming to an end. It's coming to a real quick ending. Now I enjoy being about my father's business. I really love this. I didn't know. But, you know, God showed me some things in me that works perfectly for this. Praise the Lord. God bless you too. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we just asked the question, Pastor Harden, what would you love to do if money were no longer a factor? We're just sending out some hints again to knowing what our assignment is. God sent us all here for a reason. Amen. And I'm just throwing out some extra clues as to why. What reason are we here for? What is it that we're supposed to do? What problem is it that we're supposed to solve? Thank you, Jesus. So things that you really enjoy doing and love is the key to your assignment. Amen. Let me give you this one right here. Abraham was faithful, right? We know Abraham for being faithful, right? But Abraham loved peace. He despised conflict. Amen. You all remember when God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham became an intercessor for them, for his nephew Lot and his wife and daughters. And even though Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, Lot and his daughters were brought out safely. And it happened because Abraham contained something really precious, and that was a love for peace. He really was a peaceful man. And see, he loved peace so much that birthed that wisdom into him to negotiate with God. Just think what he was doing. God saying, I'm going to get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Lord, now wait, Lord. What if it's 50 righteous people in there? Would you still destroy it? Oh, that's some wisdom. See, what's inside, what he put inside of you, that assignment, it birthed wisdom. Amen. You negotiating with God. Okay, well, I won't destroy it for 50. Okay, Lord, what about 45? How if you find 45 righteous, will you destroy it? He was negotiating, he was interceding because he had that peace in him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. His love for peace, saints, birthed wisdom necessary to achieve it. But in contrast, I showed you that a clue could be things that you really dislike. Amen. That might show you something God assigned you to change. Things you really don't like. He'll put a dislike for something in you. Remember, whatever you permit, saints, will always continue. I was thinking about this. When I spoke this last week, I was thinking about it. And when I look back, I always really disliked injustice and lying. I never liked that. It just, something would rage up in me when I saw it. I didn't like to see people take advantage of other people. You know, and I think about, I was in grammar school and the bullies, when I see somebody bully something, I would just get involved and I should have left it alone. Be like, man, leave that boy alone. He didn't do nothing to you. I just didn't like it. Something would rage up in me. Injustice and lying, I didn't like it. I don't like it now. Well, friends, we're golfing, right? It's a game, right? Golf is a game. You all know I enjoy the golf, right? But it's a game. And when we playing, why you gotta lie about your score? Just constantly, I saw you hit the ball in the water, out of bounds. I got a 6. What is that? That bothers me. And you know what it does too? Y'all catch this revelation. When you do that, you don't get better. They'll see me, if I get a 15, I'll take a 15. And they don't even want to do it. They say, nah, man, I'm going to give you 10. No, give me 15. I got to learn that lesson. I'm not to hit that silly shot I just hit. Don't give me 10. I got 15. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's just something I don't like injustice, saints. You all think about that thing that you really don't like. Amen. I was always for the underdog, the one who everybody counts out. I was always like that. huh? God, when God showed me this, I really thought back on this. What is it that I really don't like? And you know what I think a related trait to that is? Never giving up. I have this trait, I just never give up. I don't care how far I'm down, I just refuse to give up. I won't give. Yesterday, for example, yesterday I was down 7 or 8 strokes. I was. Hey, you know what my man say? You can forget this. I said, why you say that? I got 8 more holes. Huh? We got a long way to go. He was trying to tell me, oh, count it out, man. You done. And guess what happened? He lost. He lost in the last 3 holes. It's just amazing. Just don't give up, saints. Amen. I just really don't like injustice. And Moses was like that. So I showed y'all that last week. Moses loved people. He was a deliverer of Israel. Huh? When Moses saw that Egyptian beating that Israelite, anger rose up inside of him. God put that in him. Why? Because his assignment was to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. So he didn't like that. It was in him. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Yeah, Moses didn't like injustice, saints. He killed a man. And really, that postponed Moses' assignment for a while, but it was a clue of the mantle that he had, he was carrying as a deliverer. He cared. He was attentive to their cares and their cries. He was compassionate. Amen. Because he had love for people. He was able to lead them, and they followed him. Yup, they complained. While they was following, they was complaining in the wilderness and whining and griping. But they found that leader in him. Amen. So I'm just want to say that again. What you dislike could be a clue to your assignment, saints. I want to go even deeper. Because completing your assignment that God sent you here to earth to do is real important. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I want you to see it by the characteristics that you have, what your assignment really is. Amen. Remember I read last week, this was shocking. I had to talk about this in the early morning prayer. When Jonah was on the boat and they realized they cast lots and all that and found out, hey, you the one that's causing us all this grief. And Jonah said, yes, you're right. And instead of saying, take me back, you know, let me go back and do what God asked me to do. He said, throw me off the ship. Is that crazy or what? He could have said, why did he say, just take me back? Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm running away from, let me just go back and obey God. But that ain't what he said. He said, throw me off the ship. Some would rather die than obey God. Is that crazy? Is it that hard to do what God sent you here to do that you'd rather die? And we're seeing that a lot. Much of that. We're seeing so much death, all this craziness going on. You think God is not speaking to them. They just don't want to obey. They'd rather die. I ain't doing it. Throw me off the ship. That's just so crazy to me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Another great clue, though, to your assignment is things that grieve you. Have you ever heard this saying? You all ever heard this saying right here? Tears talk. You ever heard that? See, when you cry about something, it's a clue that something you was created by God or ordained to change, to heal it. When you constantly crying about something all the time. Here's an example, like a battered woman. That's not good. Amen. Ignorance. That's not good. The scripture says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Ignorance is just a lack of knowledge. You just don't know. Isn't it crazy when you look at somebody and they just ignorant? And especially today, we got the super highway. information that we got. We can Google anything. You don't have to be ignorant about anything. Amen. Disease, poverty, abortion, homosexuality, all of those things, saints. You crying about those things, and some of them I scream loud about. That means you have a caring quality. You have an instrument. You have something that can heal that. When you care about something, you want to change it and make it better. Amen. Like this. Like, think about Ezra. I remember reading this story. Ezra, his heart was broken over the temple in the city of Jerusalem. He couldn't rest. He wept. He sobbed. He read scriptures to the people. And he knew that the presence of God was the only remedy for those wounded people. Just like we know in Chicago, we're thinking of all these solutions. But what's really the truth? God's presence. God is needed there. God has to get involved there. That's why he sent me there. I was trying to get God involved. Look, man of God, let's just all join together and ask the Lord to help us. All this, well, we're going to get more police officers. We're going to do this. None of that stuff worked. It's even getting worse. Amen. Ezra knew that. He cried about that. The presence of God was the only remedy for those wounded people. Amen. We're just talking today about more in detail about your assignment, what God put you here to correct. Amen. Let me show you all this. This one, the Lord showed me this one. It's like an insanity in our society. And I'm going to reveal it right now. The insanity that's going on right now is drugs and alcohol. It's going on right now. Young man, y'all listening to me? Devin and Marcel, please hear me. Because this insanity is going to come to your door. Amen. Drugs and alcohol. It's nuts. Observe how the liquor industry has on all their signs, all their billboards, on everything in every stadium, advertisements. Every newspaper is filled with liquor advertisements. Our neighborhoods with liquor stores. But here's the crazy part. Alcohol has murdered and destroyed more people on our streets and highways than those killed in the entire Vietnam War. I was reading that. I was amazed. I was like, really? Someone said, we lost more of our children to death by alcoholism than every death combined in all the major wars. Alcoholism. And now they're about to legalize marijuana. Think about this now. It's an insanity going on in our society. So many people are going to be legally running around high and paranoid. I know that's what it did for me. Y'all hear me, Devin and Marcel? I wasn't always like this. I do that silly stuff. I'd be just as paranoid. Mess my whole day up. Amen. All I want to do is eat. Listen to some good music. It enhanced those kind of things. That was crazy. It's insanity. Amen. Thank you, Lord. They say it's going to solve the budget problem. But anybody looking at the problems it's going to create, y'all hear me? There's so many things that should set us on fire, saints. I'm just showing you some things we could dislike. And if it does, it should push something in you. What grieves you? What saddens you? What moves you to tears? Pay attention to it. That's all I'm saying. Pay attention to those things. Tears are clues to the nature of your assignment. That's what I'm saying. Amen. At the end of the day, your assignment is to build something that is good. Listen to me, and tear down something that is bad. And here, I got to give you this. You got to know that when you begin to do that, you're going to have some opposition. When God gives you an assignment, the adversary will oppose you. Okay? Please know that. Everybody is not going to like you. Amen. Get used to that one. I'm gonna say that one again. Everybody not gonna like you. I heard somebody say everybody likes you. They was talking to me. And I said, no, they don't. Thank you for that. But you got that one twisted. Everybody just like you. You just want everybody to like you. I do. I want everybody to like me. But that's not the case. Everybody's not going to like you, especially when you're walking in your assignment. You better believe they're not going to like you. You're going to have some haters. Amen. So get used to that, saints. But in Matthew 5 and 44, Jesus gave us a remedy for that. He said, pray for them that curse you and do good to them that what? Hate you. When they hate you, what are you supposed to do? Good to them. Keep walking in your assignment. Because that hating, that's not your problem. That's their problem. So again, when you're building something, saints, and tearing something down, you will have opposition. All right? Let me show it to you. Let me show you the scripture. Look at the instruction God gave Jeremiah. It's a good example. Jeremiah chapter 1. You're either going to be building something, tearing it down, and you're going to have some opposition. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had set all his assignments up before he even got here. Did y'all hear me? And he's no respecter of persons. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. So we try to figure out why we can't do our assignment, right? But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God is telling him, this is how you're going to get this assignment done. Don't be saying that stuff. Don't say that stuff contrary to what I put in you. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So he had a little fear. He was afraid, right? Look at verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Look at verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdom to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That was his assignment. See, again, our assignment is going to be building something up that's good and tearing something down that's bad. Amen? That's what our assignment is. All of us. So you're going to have enemies. It's natural. Because the devil is a liar. Amen? It's natural for you to have enemies. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Huh? Don't buy into everybody like you. No, they don't. Don't even let them set you up like that. So then when somebody don't like you, you are all worried. Uh-uh. Everybody don't like you. Amen? Let me show that. Let me show you what that looked like. Here we go. Look, turn to John chapter 15. I want to show you that straight out of the scriptures. Because I don't want you to get this one twisted here. John chapter 15. And I want to start at verse 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Look at that promise right there. Amen. But we're going to have some enemies when we bring forth that fruit. Look at verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. He's saying love them. Love one another. Amen. If the world, what, saints? Hate you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. That's why you can't be tricked. It ain't personal. They hate Jesus. That's what he's telling them. Don't worry about that. They hate you. Know that they hated me before they even hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. See the love. If you acted like that, they'll love you. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, what, saints? They're going to persecute you. If they have kept my saying, here's a good part, what they going to do? They're going to keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Amen. They don't know God. Huh? They don't know Jesus. So that's what's going to happen. They're going to hate you. And I'm not even care. I don't care. I don't even worry about that. Amen. I was shocked when the person told me that, actually. Let me say this to you, because last week I wanted to show the men how to get all their prayers answered, because God has been answering all our prayers, and the Lord has showed me why. The scripture has said how we are to honor our wives, right? So our prayers will not be hindered, right? And we want God to answer all our prayers, correct? And I read some things about how the women dress, and I don't want y'all to get it twisted. I don't mean I don't want my wife to be beautiful, Pastor. That's what I say. My wife got to be beautiful. Amen. But I just wanted to show through the scriptures, because that's what he was showing, the main thing to focus on. That inside, that's the main thing. But we want, you know, we want the whole package, because we're going to give you the whole package. Amen. This week, I want to bless our married women with some information about your husband. Amen. Last week, I talked to the husband how not to get our prayers hindered. Amen. We don't want to hinder our prayer. We want to pray to God and him to answer those prayers. But this week, I want to show the women, and I'm going to share this information about your husband. And it's really important that you know this. Amen. It's important that you understand your husband, woman, because he's your head. He's your covering, right? You want to understand him. You want to know your husband. But while we're on assignments, I thought this would be a good time to bring this up, because every man has this assignment. And married woman, if you want to keep your blessings flowing, you must keep your husband in this assignment right here. Amen. Every man has this assignment. Please hear me. I really want to bless you. What did I say? She asked me, what did you ask me, Sister Teresa? You said, what do I want to sow? I said, blessings. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to sow love. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I really want to bless you with this today. I want to show you wives how to keep your blessings flowing. Do you hear me? I want to show it to you, because it's like we miss this piece. Amen. And I'm always talking to brothers, you know, when they telling me how it's your fault and blah, blah. And I be like, not talking to the wrong person. It's your fault. Well, she this, she that. You the man. Nothing happens unless you make it happen. Amen. But woman, I want to show you all how to keep those blessings flowing. Amen. So here's, I got to tell you this. Men, listen to me, need sex. Do you hear me? I repeat that. Brothers should be saying amen. They scared right now. They're like, where the pastor about to go? I'm going to tell y'all, married women again. I'm speaking to married women now. Men need sex. Amen. The Lord showed me this one, right? It blew my mind. I said, it's getting deep now, Lord. See, men need sex. Women don't have to have it. But men definitely have to have it. Do you hear me? Now, let me show you why. Let me show you this. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Holy Ghost. Give it to them just like you gave it to me. Amen. I want to show you why it's how to keep those blessings flowing. Amen. The number one need of a male is sex. Did you hear me? Now, notice, I didn't say a man. I said a male. a man is spirit, okay? And man's number one need is God. All right, I don't want you got to hear me now. Stay with me. I said a male needs sex. That's his number one need. But a man needs God. Okay, that's his number one need. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. The male is designed by God to be a progenerator. He's full of seed. Okay, I want you to know that. This is what you're living with now. He's full of seed. His purpose or his assignment is to provide the seed. Okay? This is your man. That's why he needs sex. Because that's an assignment. He has to provide seed. Amen? That's why every man in here right now is carrying a half a billion sperms in his loins. He's a seed carrier. Y'all hearing me? I want to see you keep your blessings. His number one purpose is to provide the genes for the generation. Amen. And that word generation, the word gene is in it. Huh? Gene, in the word generation, you have the word gene. Because that's what his job is, to provide genes for the generation. So God designed the man to produce generations. Oh, y'all got to hear me. Y'all with me? When God wanted a generation, he didn't go to the woman. He went to the man. He said, Abraham, a nation is going to come out of you. Amen. And Sarah is going to incubate it. That's what he said. But he told Abraham, I'm going to make you a man of many nations. Is that what he said? So men don't want sex, ladies. They need it. Okay? Please hear me. A need is something that helps you to function. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Men don't want sex. They need it, ladies. Wives, I'm trying to show you how to keep your blessings flowing. Keep you from getting into trouble with your man that you don't have to get into. You have to meet his need. Amen. He needs this. I'm showing it to you. See, he needs sex because he's driven by a divine purpose to produce seed. So he's always ready. Amen. What did I say? The man is always ready. Men don't have menstrual cycles or periods. They always ready. Please hear me. Your man is ready. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All day, every day, anytime, amen, anywhere, he's ready. Brothers, y'all need to be saying amen. Why y'all afraid to say amen when I'm putting out truth like this? Amen, Pastor. There you go. I'm telling you the truth. You afraid to say amen, Carlton? He ready. Amen. Men don't have to build their way up to sex, saints. Lady, he's ready already. He don't have to build his way up. Again, he don't have cycles. And you all women do. So he's ready even when you're not. And that's what creates a problem. He ready when you're not ready. Amen. He always ready. So Christian woman, really listen to me. Because some of y'all women think y'all man, you know, something wrong with him. He got a demon or something. He's a nymphomaniac. That is not the case. Amen. You know, y'all tell him what you had it last night and you wanted this morning and I gave it to you yesterday. I'm going to pray for you. That's what you tell him. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Then I'm going to bring you to Pastor Rudy. You got a demon. Pastor Rudy look at you. I got the same demon. I can't pray for him. Lord have mercy. It's not a demon, ladies. I'm trying to show you something right here. I'm trying to give you a piece of meat. Amen. He's on assignment. If I say we have an assignment, we got to complete our assignment. So, ladies, I said all that to say this. Men need sex. Please repeat that, ladies. Say it, ladies. Men need sex. We need it. Amen. Now listen, man. I didn't put that truth out. It's making me think what Kalon told me yesterday. What did he tell me yesterday? He said, I broke code or something. I told his the cheat code. I broke the cheat code. That's what he said. I told his mama something that, you know, usually men share. He said, Daddy done broke the cheat code. But no, I got to tell you the truth. I told you all I have for you is truth, and I got to tell you the truth. But man, I got to say this too, because women have needs too. Amen. Men need sex, but what do women need? It's really answer D, all of the above. Amen. Women need affection, brothers. Listen to me. They need affection. And here's where we get it. It's where we get it twisted. I gotta laugh about this. Affection is not sex. Okay? They need affection. That's not sex. Affection is like hugging her, spending time with her. Amen. Watching a movie with her, telling her how much you love her. Amen. However, now listen to me. Sex is the result of affection. Okay? See, if you give her affection, she's going to meet your need. Amen? When you meet her needs, it leads her to meeting your needs. Okay? I got to put this truth out here. And brothers, we really have to be sensitive to her needs. I'm going to say that twice. Men, we have to be sensitive to our wives' needs. That's why it says we must dwell with them. How? According to knowledge. We got to be sensitive to their needs. See, sometimes she doesn't feel like it. But ladies, you got to remember, he always feel like it. You got to remember that. As Paul said in the scriptures, he was trying to help him. He said, your body is not your own. Is that what he said? Your body belongs to him and his body belongs to you. He was trying to show you something. It's not about me. You can't be thinking it's about me. I don't feel like it's not about you all the time. Amen. Here's a saying right here. Have you ever heard this, brothers? Women have four seasons. Who heard that? Anybody ever heard that? That women have four seasons? You never heard that, huh? It's okay, you heard it today. I'm going to break them seasons down since y'all ain't heard it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So they have what? Summer, winter, autumn, and spring. And brothers, we have to be sensitive to that. Amen. See, when it's winter, you got to leave her alone. You hear me? It's winter. Amen. Buy her flowers, kiss her, hug her, but don't touch her. Okay, it's winter time. Winter, you out in the cold, so you got to control yourself. Amen. It's winter time. And then we got what? Now it's autumn. Things start to warm up a little bit. Still not interested though, but they're getting there now. Amen. It's autumn. I want to show brothers this. Now it's spring. Everything is coming back to life. Huh? See, let's get it on. She beat you to the spot. It's autumn now. Things are coming back to life. I mean, spring. Amen. And then the summer hits. It's hot. Amen. She grabbing you. Come on here. You know, brothers, we love summer. So I'll say amen. They scared. Heaven is scared. I like summer. Who likes summer? I'm raising my hand. Y'all could be quiet if y'all want to. Then what happened? It's winter again, and we back in the cold. Hey, man, it's got four seasons. You got to understand that. We got to be sensitive, brothers. Because you got to remember, we know you ready all the time, but she not. Okay? Archie got a sad face now. Oh, you like hot all the time. I told you these brothers like hot all the time. You moved to Florida one season, huh? Nah, you know what? That's my brothers. That's what you're saying. That's why you go to Florida all the time. Amen. See how I say amen? And I told you I like summer. Amen. But we got to be sensitive to that they really do have four seasons. You all know what a good marriage is built on? A man that is sensitive, huh? A man that understands sensitivity, amen? And a woman that understands the need of a man. That's a good marriage, amen? A good marriage is built on a man that understands sensitivity. Hey, I'm sensitive to her needs. She's my helper, she's the weaker vessel. Now I know she has four seasons. I'm sensitive to that. And a woman that understands the need of a man. Now you know what a man needs, ladies. I ain't talking about what he want, you know, and all of that. He needs that. God put that in him. Huh? A half a billion seeds. Praise God. I'm going to close with this scripture right here. Just going to wrap it up for you. It's found in Hebrews 4. It says, marriage is honorable, and in all the bed is undefiled. If you want to keep it pure, this is how you do it, by understanding each other's needs. That's how you keep your marriage pure. Amen. You'll be sensitive to her need, and she understands your need. Amen. Lord, Father, thank you for that word, Lord. I know it blessed me when you showed it to me, and I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, with all I get in, what do we need to get? You need to understand things. It'll help you. Amen. It'll help you. Now, you all ladies know now, when he acting like that, he ain't crazy. You know, that's a need. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word, helping us to find our assignment and keep our marriages strong, Lord. Thank you for your word and revelation of your word, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for keeping us the way you're keeping us in our families, Lord. We say glory, 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 and hallelujah to you, Lord. I speak a special blessing over everyone here, and a super special blessing over every married couple that's here today, Lord. That their marriages be strong, Father. I speak strength into it, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. I speak that men are sensitive to their wives, and wives are sensitive and understand the needs of their husband. Thank you for that, Father. And I give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor for everything you're doing in my life right now, Lord. It's a pleasure to serve you, Father. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Lord, because I know it's the power of God until salvation, to the Jew first and then the Greek. I know that, Father. So I'm not ashamed of your word. And I thank you for it, Lord. For instructions, for counseling, for guidance, to creating us a perfect man, Lord. Thank you for your word. You just didn't leave us here orphans. You didn't leave us here bastards, Lord, fatherless. But you are a father, Lord, and you keep us so beautifully, and I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for keeping us in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for providing a path to connect us back to our Father. Now we can say, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Everybody in here knows Jesus, correct? So who do we need to pray for?